Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where you come to hear all the latest and greatest oldies and goldies, the stories about real estate you never, ever were going to hear on HGTV because they really happen, and people live through real estate. And frankly, I think I need my own TV program, so you people need to tell your channels. But in the meantime, I'm going to bring y'all one of our most amazing association executives. She's in the Austin, Texas area. It's Emily Chenevere. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me, Lee.
Right. So if you're a normal person listening to this and you're not actually a realtor yourself, you're here to hear about naked people and people having sex and dead people and stuff like that. You should know that association executives are really professional cat herders. Their job is to encourage real estate professionals to be better professionals and to elevate the real estate profession in the markets they serve. So Emily's job is one you've probably never heard of before, but it's a pretty critical role to protecting you as a buyer or seller of real estate wherever you live.
A cat herder is the best example of it I've heard. There are the days.
It's pretty accurate, let's be honest. All right, so Emily, tell them how long you've been in and around real estate and whatever little tidbit they should know about you so that they can feel like they've met you.
Yeah, you bet. I am an association junkie by trade. I've worked for real estate associations straight out of college, both at the local level in Austin and then also at the state level for the Texas Association of Realtors. My background was as a lobbyist for realtors. So I worked as a GAD, a government affairs director, which means that I help protect consumer interests every single day by helping protect home buyers and home sellers, protect their private property rights, and ensure that there was nothing regulatory that was going to scare the market or scare off a consumer. And now I work as the CEO of the Austin Board of Realtors. I run their MLS. So I actually run the marketplace, the technology behind that, and then also the association. We serve 13,000 Central Texas realtors and all of their clients across Austin.
I love that you brought up the political advocacy work because I think it's really misunderstood in not just the membership of realtors, but in the public, because when people say politics in today's really divided world, they just jump into their partisan trench and pull a piece of rock over their head and say, politics, politics. But in reality, the advocacy work is not sexy for most people, but it's really critical. So like, for example, the whole Airbnb issue is a really hot topic, not just in Austin, but across the country. And should homeowners be allowed to do Airbnb in their properties is what it boils down to. So you people who are listening should know that even if you hate politics on the national level and you've turned off your channels, you really need to be dialed in because it's going to impact whether or not you can take advantage of the share economy yourself, whether your clients can and whether you should.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is even I hate politics as a student of it. Academically, I have a degree in government. I live for White House shows and dramas on TV, but I'm sick of and disgusted by what we see at a national level and even a local level sometimes. But I know that if I'm not watching, then nobody else is. Somebody's got to have your back when it comes to protecting the value you've invested in your property.
I love that. Can we just make sure that everybody knows that was the North Carolina Realtors president this year, Asa Fleming? His whole slogan was, realtors have your back.
I love it.
And I think it's a really good and accurate message because realtors have a pretty negative perception in the eyes of the public for how they look after themselves. But we know that the most engaged and successful realtors are in reality looking out for their entire community. And it's a pretty holistic thing. In fact, I was describing it the other day. A lot of people are a mile wide and an inch deep. But your best engaged realtors are an inch wide because of the community they serve. They're in a micro market, but they're a mile deep. I mean, they know everything that's going on, from schools and roads to property rights to, oh, what is your house actually worth and what should you be paying for it?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great example. I mean, it's interesting when I think about the way that what makes our market work is two sides to a deal, right? And so somebody's got to have your back in the transaction. Somebody's got to have your back in terms of protecting property value for the property that you're exchanging on behalf of your clients, for protecting the community that you call home. I mean, there's a lot of threat at all levels of our community, and realtors really are deeply engaged in those issues.
Okay, so knowing that our topic of this show is crazy shit in real estate, you can pick any angle you want to, whether it's when you bought your personal house or it's the realtor that you babysit in your association or it's government affairs work in the real estate realm. I'd love to know, Emily, you're pretty young, you know, so the amount of time you spend in life is probably more enriched than everybody else at your age. So what would you tell us? And what was the craziest thing you've encountered that was completely unexpected and either provided a learning experience or a experience to you?
Yeah, well, I guess being a young and female lobbyist in Texas is unusual. There are not that many girls hanging out at City Hall and definitely not that many girls hanging out at the state capitol, but I was one of the few. When I had my second baby, he was found to have some medical issues that landed me in the hospital pregnant for 6 weeks leading up to his birth. So I lived full time in antepartum at St. David's North in Austin, Texas. And from that post, I led over 8 independent expenditure campaigns in elections for city council because we flipped the whole structure of our council from all at large to districted seats. I took phone calls with the mayor. I had meetings in the cafeteria as if I was not actually a patient in the hospital. And really just did my job in a way that gave me passion and zeal for life at a time that could have otherwise been a little tricky. It was a little crazy for me. I think it was probably unusual for the candidates to take phone calls from the hospital, but it worked out and we won a bunch of seats and turned out to be one of the best transitions this community's made with regards to our local elected official structure.
So this is hilarious. I would just love to know if there was ever a candidate who wouldn't take the phone call of a lobbyist on bed rest in the hospital. That would be like the worst publicity you could ever get.
They all took the calls.
I think you might have set the stage here.
Yeah, they all took the calls. Some of them were relatively uncomfortable talking about the elections when they knew I was in the hospital, but I refused to discuss anything but their races because we had a job to do and that job was to get those guys elected.
Okay, so talk to me about this because I think that in the public, people forget that when it's time to vote, they need to look beyond their one pet issue. You've got to look at a bigger picture. So when the Austin realtors are looking at the people running for city council, what would you say are questions that you ask them that the public should also be asking the people that are running for office if we had a more educated electorate, which frankly I dream of. So if we're going to dream of an educated electorate, let's tell them what to ask.
Yeah. So in Austin, Texas, our issues are quality of life issues associated with how fast we've grown. We net 150 people a day in Austin, and we don't have enough houses for them. We don't have enough roads for them. It's causing a strain on our system overall. That's a blessing and a curse. The growth has been amazing for our economic growth, but it also is something that we have been ill prepared for. So if I were just an everyday homeowner in Austin, I would want to know what an elected official was doing to free up the congestion in the roads. We have the fourth worst traffic congestion in the country. I would want to know what they're doing to impact the overall affordability of my house, what they're doing to impact the rapidly growing home prices in Austin, and what they're doing to maintain the quality of life that makes Austin what it is. People love it here because it's quirky and it's unique and it has a small town feel while it's a big town. So how are we protecting our culture while also preparing more readily for the growth that we continue to experience?
Okay, so we know that politics and even asking those questions, people jump into their little partisan fold very quickly. How are you able, as somebody who has opinions of your own, of course, because you should, because you're highly educated, how are you able to set aside your personal beliefs in order to work on behalf of the greater community in a way that's productive and not divisive? Because I think that's a lesson we could learn from you to make each of us better advocates in our communities.
Funny story. My father was an elected official in Dallas County. He was a Democrat and my whole family are Democrats. He thought I sold my soul to the devil when I joined the Realtor Association as a lobbyist because he was convinced that every realtor is a Republican and that all of their issues are conservative. I have since learned that's absolutely not the case and that we really are purple power realtor party all day long. Those are the, you know, we reflect the issues that matter to our industry and to your clients every day. There are times that you have to put your own feelings on the shelf. And I think that that's the case, not just for lobbyists, but for people who cast votes every day. There's no way that an elected official you're casting a vote for represents every one of your issues spot on in the way that you want them to. But the reality is you've got to look at the trend line. What's the trend line on what they represent, how they represent your interests, and how they're protecting your community in a way that feeds your passion and maintains the community that you desire? Issues are complicated. Public policy is complicated. There's a lot of gray area in the solutions that will solve our problems meaningfully. And you've got to be willing to come to the table, negotiate, and know that you're going to give some and take some, all for the sake of our community's growth overall.
I'm so glad you said that. This whole purity test. I mean, you think about it. We apply it to Republican candidates for office. There's a Republican purity test. There's a Democrat purity test. And you can watch right now in the preliminaries to next year's presidential campaign, they're all trying to check an imaginary box that somebody else created. And then we as individual voters create our own little purity test. And I always remind people, if somebody agrees with you 100% on everything, then they're lying about something, because we're all created to be so different. And I think we really lose sight of great people when we don't have 100% agreement with them, forgetting that it's not a realistic expectation. Because frankly, if we don't agree on things, we should be having these conversations. And when you talk about those trend lines, I'm going to look at how often somebody abided by what they told me they believe. Whether I agree with them or not, I'd rather know what they believe and that they stand by it than that they tell me they agree with me and then jump ship to something that's more politically popular or politically correct, as the case may be. And I always say it like this, that I'd rather know who the assholes are, because they are who they are, than the ones who pretend they're not. And then underneath, they're just bad.
Especially as a lobbyist, I can tell you that, you know, my work was always made more complicated by the person who's never consistent, or who changes with the way the wind blows, or would swap positions based on who spoke with them last. But even if you're not the candidate that agrees with realtors all day long, if I know where you are and I can understand your position, understand the constituency that you serve, we're probably going to find opportunities to work together, if not on this issue, then another. And so I think that we've lost that mutual respect, that trust in relationships that we've had in other decades, right? That discourse is healthy, but we don't do that very well anymore. We want purists. We want people to lean in deep on one issue or one party or one set of statements. And that's not how public policy works. It's also not how our community works. We're a nuanced population. We've got to make space for giving and taking.
Well, it's funny, I had this conversation yesterday with a friend, and he was frustrated with his current representative, who happens to be of another party. And he said, I wish he would understand that I still live here too. And I said, that's the key for all of us, no matter who represents us and what kind of a district you're in politically. If you're an elected official, you need to understand that all your neighbors are all your neighbors. And I think that's also one of those characteristics that's always made Austin cool, is that when you think about Austin saying weird, it's because you understand that every neighbor is different and unique, and you celebrate that instead of trying to create this homogenous society, which would be just boring as shit. I mean, think about Wrinkle in Time. Did you read that Madeline L'Engle book when you were young?
Yeah.
And remember when she goes into the other dimension and you have all the houses lined up, and then all the red balls come out the step at the same time, and all the kids follow the ball and all the moms follow the ball. So I think about that scene in my head. I didn't watch the movie, full disclosure, because I love the book, and I never watch a movie when I love the book because it ruins it for me. But I had this great mental image of that perfectly laid out world, which is not anything we're ever going to have. So we have to let go of the idea of perfect so we can embrace the idea of unique, which is better.
Yeah, I think about if people would lean as hard as they lean into their political party, into their own community, and into knowing their neighbors and understanding what the needs of the people around them are. Can you imagine the way that relationships would evolve and the discussions that we might have around a table together? You know, we're just so divided, so held up in our own corners that we've stopped looking left and right to figure out what somebody else is thinking or how they're feeling or what they might need.
And it's always why I think realtors can be the solution to this, because I've yet to meet a realtor who refuse to take a listing or work with a buyer because of the other person's political beliefs. Because realtors, they make fun of us for being focused on getting a transaction done and, you know, earning our commission dollars. But when a realtor is earning their commission dollars, they really are putting aside differences to find common ground. And I think if our members would understand that a little bit better, and also understand that, like your family, the realtor party, they have to undo what they believe about the realtor party so that they can understand that we're not all Republican, we're not all Democrat. In fact, I think one of the most beautiful talking points of who the realtor political work benefits, you look at the top 20 spenders in the 2018 midterms, we're the only political action group in the top 20 that was a 50-50 split. Everybody else is all or nothing, Republican or Democrat. Then you have the realtor sticking out like a sore thumb at number 19, and we're half and half, which I think is the perfect representation of who our members are, what our members believe, and then where the effective politicians are, because they are on both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely what makes us unique. It's also what makes for good public policy positions. You know, when you represent community interests at large and the stability of a marketplace, you don't have the luxury of leaning into one party or the other. You have to find nuanced policy positions that serve customers, that serve home buyers and home sellers.
So, Emily, tell our listeners, because we've kind of rambled on and something that might not be interesting to most people, but, you know, I'm hoping that my nerds are listening because they'll appreciate us very much. And the media should be listening to us as they start playing games too. But anyway, you've bought a house before. Tell us the one thing that happened in buying a house that was a surprise to you when y'all bought your very first property.
Yeah, well, we built a house was our first house. We did it at
The first time you did it was building.
We built a house. We used a realtor, even though we had a new construction home, which all should do. But we had one of those crazy scenarios in early 2007 where they allowed an 80-20 loan at 100% with a balloon note on the second part of the loan. So we made the most terrible financial decisions you could make. We were one of those people that should not have qualified for a home, and we did. And then we spent bukus of money converting that mortgage later to a more traditional mortgage. And I think that we were those people, you know, that thought that homeownership was for everybody, regardless of whether or not you're prepared for it. And I definitely learned a lot at a very young age about how and why transactions are structured the way that they are and why you've got to have enough skin in the game that you're not upside down in that property.
But you also set a great example for, we made a commitment, we made a decision. It might be expensive, but we're going to figure out how to keep the pieces together. And I know that some people try to find solutions and they can't. But in our society, especially during that recessionary period, we had a lot of people that just threw their hands up and said, screw it, I'm done here, I'm moving on. So I think there's a huge lesson to homeowners that says, yeah, we maybe should have done more homework before we pulled the trigger, but we came through with our commitment. And I commend you for that, even though it was painful. Yeah, I bet you'll be passing that lesson home to your kids.
Yeah, 100%. We, you know, actually what happened is I had a job offer with the state association that took me to North Texas. So we had to hold the home, rent it out, lease it as a rental property for the time that we lived in Dallas. So we experienced property management in that capacity, came back to the house, had to convert it back into our primary homestead, and had a lot of different experiences that have served us well now, but, you know, were hard times when we were very, very young, making big decisions.
See, young people can make big decisions too, right?
Every once in a while, we get it right.
Hey, and even if you don't, that's called learning. That's called adulting, as the young people call it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You don't want to adult, but sometimes you have to. So, Emily, if somebody wants to reach out to the CEO of the Austin Realtors and they have a question, or maybe they're a realtor in another market that would like to find out a good way to start these conversations with their association CEO or government affairs director, how can they reach you?
Well, I'm always available by cell phone. My number is posted all over our website because I like to connect with members all across the country and in all capacities. I can be reached at eschenevert, eschenevert at abor.com, austinboardofrealtors.com. And I hang out on Instagram at mschenevert. That's at mschenevert. And I like to watch everybody's social media. I love to watch yours, Lee. I like to watch you run in. It's good motivation for me to get moving on my Peloton.
Oh, yeah. You must be making a lot of money in Austin to have that Peloton. I'm too cheap to pull the trigger.
No, girl.
Like awesome.
No, girl. My husband bitches about it on the daily. But it's like my new best friend. But it does make working out possible.
Hey, it makes you go do it, and that's the key. So, Emily, thank you so much for all that you're doing for realtors and have done for realtors. And I know that you're going to keep doing big things because that's who you are. So thanks for coming on the show, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you around the realtor world.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Lee. Have a great day.
Right, guys, if you are a realtor, investor, broker, inspector, lender, or just a regular, normal human being who's had your own experience in real estate and you'd like to be on the show, hit me up at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks to be featured in the future episode. In the meantime, subscribe for more, and we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.